That's all right, brother. I did the same thing at the Arlington conference. I was half hour over when I should have stopped.
I was only 10 minutes over.
You were only 10 minutes. Yeah. Well, I have been granted a 15-minute time frame here, so if there's anybody whose stomach is rumbling and you want to get to your meal, blame Brother Randy. He said I could have 15 minutes. Let us turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 15. And verse 16. John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 16. The Lord Jesus speaking, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And may God bless the reading of this most powerful verse from his word. The risen Christ, he had met with his 11 disciples. He was going back to heaven, and he was going to count on them to take his gospel to the four corners of the world. The message that he spoke to them, it rings down through the ages, right to us in this conference. And I can speak for my brethren. I know that each one of us has prayed over the words that we were going to speak at this conference, that it might touch someone's heart, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, and that you might experience a life-changing moment here. Those men, they went forth. Some of them died a martyr's death. But in their preaching, they saw men and women, boys and girls, saved. And those ones, they took up the torch, and they in turn went out and they preached the gospel. Many of them gave their lives, dying of overwork and sickness in foreign lands. But as they walked across the page of history, they left the mark of the risen Christ in souls that had been saved. What causes a Christian to leave family and friends, to leave home and comfort, to leave their occupation and earthly gain? What causes them to do that? And the answer is this: it is a call. Their response, their heart response to a call from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. My own personal journey to a call began when I was saved as a boy of 8. When I was in my teens, I was just drifting, and God put his hand upon me at that time. We were driving home from a meeting and singing in the car, "The heaven is my fatherland, heaven is my home." And the Spirit of God impressed on me, "David, is heaven really your home?" My peace was gone. For 6 months, I wondered, was I really saved or not? In that 6 months, I began to read the Bible really for the first time. I began to devour the scriptures, and I began to pray like I had never prayed before. At the end of that 6 months, my peace gradually returned. And one morning in my parents' home, sitting in the living room, meditating over these verses and talking to the Lord and asking what my future was going to be, I came to this verse: "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." When I read that verse, I got down on my knees. And for the first time in my life, I made a presentation to the Lord Jesus of my body, soul, and spirit. And I would just like to ask in this audience, the ones who are saved here, you can look back to a time when, a place where, in a manner how, that you got God's salvation. Could I ask you, can you look back to a time when, place where, in a manner how, that you made a commitment, a presentation to the Lord Jesus of your body, soul, and spirit? From that moment, there was a difference in my life. I finished my education. I was appointed as a conservation officer up in the Arnstein area. I met Nancy and we were married. I told her of my exercise for the Lord's work. At that time, I thought we would end up working with native people in the north. But after we were married, I turned against what I knew to be a call. I remembered the times when my dad would be away preaching away for months. I did not want my wife and family to go through that. Just after we were married, I thought maybe Nancy had cancer. She had to have some tests. And one morning when I went to work, I was standing before the gun cabinet and I was just reaching for my gun to take out on patrol. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed by a feeling of impending disaster. I got down on my knees and I made a vow to the Lord Jesus. I said, if she's all right, I will serve you. And she was all right. And I translated that vow to God into being a help in the assembly in Arnstein. I felt God would be satisfied with me being a help in that assembly and preaching the gospel there. I'd be at work thanking God for such a wonderful job out in patrol in the boat or in the snowmobile. And all of a sudden, it would just come crowding in. David, this is not what you were called to do. It came down to the conference at Arnstein in 1977, and I was miserable. And at that conference, Mr. Hanna, he got up and he spoke in this way. He said, I feel there is someone at this conference that the Lord would have on the mission field. And I knew that it was me. I left that conference more miserable than I had ever been in my life. I knew I should go, and I couldn't make the break. Hunting season came. I was out in patrol in my boat. Snowstorm came down, and I didn't have a compass with me, and I threw the anchor out of the boat and waited out the storm. I pulled my Bible out of my briefcase. I turned to the book of Jonah because I thought there would be some comfort for me there. I've always really liked Jonah. There's a lot of similarities, I'm afraid. I read in Jonah, went through chapter 1, came to chapter 2. In Job 2 and 9, it said, I will pay that I have vowed. And that just hit me because I realized I had made a vow to God that I had not paid. And I was impressed by how God Almighty could simply remove my wife and two children, take them from me because of my stubbornness. And right there in the boat, I bowed my head and I said to the Lord Jesus, I will go wherever you want. Please guide us. Told Nancy about the experience. Then we told the brethren in Arnstein. And then we wrote two letters. We didn't know how to go about ending up on a mission field. We wrote a letter to Brian Owen down in the islands and to Doug Reed in Costa Rica. We said, the first one that answers, that's where we'll go. Doug Reed called us on Wednesday night. He said, will the brethren command you? And I said, yes, we've already spoken to them. He said, will you come? And the horror of that moment is still in my mind. All I could think of was, our family will starve to death. You know, God was very gracious. I said to Doug, yes, we will come. Nancy and I spent a sleepless night, and in the morning in our reading, the Lord gave us an anchor to our soul from Scripture. I believe in a call, and I believe that the call should be confirmed with Scripture. Because when things begin to unravel on the mission field and your faith is tried, if you have a confirmation from Scripture, that can never change. It's with you for life. The confirmation that we needed so badly that morning was this. From the book of Isaiah, "Thou shalt not be forgotten of me." We pasted that right in our fellowship book. And many times over the years, we've looked at it and thanked God for it. 7 months later, we were in Costa Rica. The night we arrived there, we were doing our reading. God confirmed everything from Psalm 50 and 14. "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." It was as if God was saying, "You're here. Now begin your work." There might be somebody here, a man, a woman, boy or girl, and you have felt that God is speaking to you. May God in this conference confirm to you what he wants to do with your life. A century ago, a single woman, because there are so many women on the mission field as well, and God has used them mightily. Our own daughter is one. But that woman, raised to wealth and privilege, felt God calling her to abandon all and carry the gospel to the children of India. Her name was Amy Carmichael. I can never read her book without tears flowing down my cheeks, because it makes me think of Sabrina. She wrote this: "From all that denies thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, O flame of God." Jim Elliot, reading those words, he penned these words: "Am I ignitable? Am I willing to put everything on the altar for our Lord Jesus?" May God bless his word this morning.